You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 167, Nasty and Classy. I serve as your humble and also gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast is there. Make sure you hit subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. Ooh, Chile, what it do, Purple Pants Posse? I feel like it's been such a long time since we had our little chat. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope you've been enjoying this beautiful summer weather, and it's still my type of weather because it's not too hot. Okay, I don't need my air conditioning in. Listen, haven't had to have the heat on in a while. So listen, my energy bill is giving right on budget. So yes, it's been so much. It's been like there's so much going on, posse. Last we talked, you know, I done broke the internet. I've been in the bed with Ozzy. Okay. Over there in LA for Bryce and Wynn Present. The 42 finale, which was such an amazing an event. Shout out to everyone that came out, you know, former players, other reality stars, and all of the people, the fans, the friends. Listen, a Purple Pants Posse was in the building. I'm always just so taken aback when I'm across the country and the posse is like, listen, we live for the Purple Pants Podcast. We love Survivor News. We love you living in your truth. And I love you guys so much. It truly is the highlight of my life just to know that, you know, I have curated a space in the Purple Pants Podcast that, you know, I can just be honest. I can share my truth. I can share my triumphs. I can share my low. And, you know, it resonates with the posse. And that's really the inception of the podcast was specifically for that. So it's just truly a blessing to know that it is getting across and you receive it, you hear it, you believe it. It's so amazing. It's just been so much. We had the Roots Picnic this past weekend in Philly. So your baby boy was out and about. You know me, I love a little festival. I love music. But most importantly, what I just love about the Roots Picnic, it's like a black festival, you know, and it's like, you know, just you hear all of these things and you see these different things. But then when you are like in the presence of just, you know, just amazing black people, the Roots are a band from Philly and they just do amazing things. And it was just so good to see so many family and friends out and about and just, you know, we outside. Okay. Listen. And so it's just been so much going on, but I'm just so happy to get back to the podcast and talking to my posse. But you know, when I broke the internet with Ozzy, we did a podcast that came out this weekend. Episode, I believe, is 166. It's called Ozzy. So if you have not checked that out, make sure you go back and get into that because I think it's a really powerful episode, especially with it being Pride Month. It's just a great and honest conversation that I feel like can break down a lot of barriers. I feel like at times I say things, but sometimes what I say doesn't always resonate with people. And somebody with the survival legend that is Ozzy, you know, there might be someone that can hear what he is saying and get something out of it. And if you want, you can go over to my YouTube, Bryce Isaiah, and watch the video. It's giving a lot. It's giving nasty and classy. Okay. Sometimes you just got to keep it nasty and classy. So I'm excited for this week's episode. We've got the church announcements. Then P-Valley, the show P-Valley on Stars. I was talking about it last season and it came back this past Friday. And I am honored to be joined by Dr. Sharia Lloyd from Survivor China and the baby boy Chappelle from the RHAP network. We come together and we listen, discuss all things episode one of P-Valley. It's really a great episode. Then, you know, Miss Barb stops by for Barb's message and we got the freak of the week. So listen, I don't know what you're doing, but just make sure you keep it nasty and classy. Let's get into these church announcements. On this week's church announcements, I just wanted to make sure that I highlighted to the posse, The Pride Has Spoken, a podcast series for Pride Month over here on the RHAP family, which features Evie, Grace, and Matt Scott. They have put together a series highlighting some LGBTQ plus members of Survivors, and they really have some great conversations. I kicked off the first episode, and I think it's just so important, and I love the fact that we are at this point in the Survivor community and frankly the world where we can have these open dialogues. There's still so much more work to do, but I think it's so important to celebrate where we are now and the amazing representation that we have. So make sure you guys check out The Pride Has Spoken. It's so important and so powerful.
It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week, and I am so excited. It feels like quarantine then took a lot of my favorite shows away, and one of the shows that I fell in love with was P-Valley on Stars. And if you don't know what P-Valley is, well, listen, you're going to learn today. And so we are breaking down season 2, episode 1 of P-Valley, and I am truly honored to be joined by my sister from another, okay? Maybe my Survivor sister, but my real life, good girlfriend. Let's welcome back to the podcast. But listen, let's get it right. Let's welcome back Dr. Okay, Sharia Lloyd to the podcast. Hey, boo.
Hey, oh my gosh, I'm still getting used to that. Remember, we were just like talking about that the last time we did this, right?
Yes.
Official.
And now it's official, official, okay? You done graduated. We done seen the photos on the IG gram. You's a doctor now.
Ooh, thanks for having me back. I missed you.
Yes. We talked about it to the posse. We said that, listen, when P-Valley comes back on, we're going to cover it. But I felt like, you know, we're going to cover it. I feel like we needed some more help. And so I'm excited to have back on the podcast because he off of spring break and off of punishment in my book. But listen, the host of Nothing But Netflix on RHAP, let's welcome back to the podcast, Chappelle.
Hey, Spicy. Thank you for having me back. Dr. Sharia, can I just say, I had no clue. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chappelle.
I'm starstruck. I'm in the presence of a doctor, a famous person, and Bryce at the same time. Like, this is so cool.
You better hype us up.
Okay, yeah, okay, I got to shout out to the AKAs. No, no, okay. Shout out to the AKAs. Rule to the AKAs, if you will.
To the good ones. Hey.
Hey, you see it?
Yes, I'm so excited to like gather this panel for P-Valley because P-Valley is such a a special show. I discovered it during quarantine. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I had saw reviews and a couple of my friends were like, oh no, you need to watch P-Valley because I think you're going to like Uncle Cliff. And I'm like, well, what y'all talk about? And then I watched it and I was like, oh, okay. I'm hooked from episode one. And it is like so amazing. How, like, what were y'all first introductions of it? Like, did you think you were going to like it off the bat or were you like, what is this?
I mean, I think it was a mix of both, but I was like hooked like you the first episode. I was like, when we going back to the pink?
Yes, I have to agree. I was like, oh, I got to go watch it. First of all, the cast is beautiful. So I was like, oh, you got to go watch the Pretty People. Amazing.
So Sharia, how would you, for the listeners that do not know what P-Valley is, like, how would you describe what the show P-Valley is?
So basically, this show follows some strip club dancers who are working down in what they call the Dirty Delta. But of course, on this show, it's in Chocolisa, okay, Mississippi, which gives you kind of a mix of like Louisiana, Mississippi, you know, in the country. And it's just following their lives of dancers down at this strip club with a couple of very flavorful, spicy characters, as Uncle Cliff, as you mentioned, Uncle Clifford and a few others. So just kind of real life for some, but the rest of us on the outside, it might be, not be our life, but you're like, ooh, I'm fascinated by this.
Right. And what I love about it is it's like, oh, okay, you might think strip club and, you know, people tend to look down on, like, you know, sex work and anything in general, but you really get to see the lives and the aspirations and the stories of, like, you know, people working in nightclubs. But for me, I think what resonates the most with me is Uncle Clifford. You know, you have this, like, openly, like, gay black man who is androgynous by all sense of the means. Like, you know, sometimes Uncle Cliff might have on some sneakers and, you know, some shorts, or Uncle Cliff might be in a blonde lace wig and a skirt and some heels, and he is serving it. But what I love the most about Uncle Cliff, from my opinion, is that in times, and especially with it being Pride Month, you know, they tend to box like a openly gay, flamboyant black male into like this one type cast role. But here we see an Uncle Clifford who is by all means a hustler, an entrepreneur, a counselor, so many things to these women in the pink that I love Uncle Cliff. And dare I say, I love the showing of his relationships with maybe some men that are not out or open to the public. And I think that the dynamic that you see between Uncle Cliff and the men's that he deals with, me as a gay black man, I feel like it is very, like, it's the story of my life. And so it's like, it really captures it. Would y'all agree? What you think?
Yeah. Bryce, first I have to say that this show is already something that I enjoy, but you reached out to me when I first started podcasting. Remember, and we did a recap of, like, to try to get the Purple Pants podcast listeners, the posse, to check it out. And so I remember when we talked about this the first time and you were telling me about how you connected with Uncle Cliff. And I was just saying, like, yeah, the coolest thing about him is that he's a boss. You know, it's not like he's a background character. He's very much the star of the show in a lot of ways, more and so in the first season, it seems, than the second season, just due to some logistical problems, I guess, that's happened recently with the pink and with some financial issues or whatever. And so, it's always cool to see Uncle Cliff step into these roles, because Uncle Cliff is not anybody's background character. You know, he is the person not only to these women, but also to a lot of the men in the town. You see that Uncle Cliff is respected by everybody and is not at any point being, you know, shunned to the side. He won't be, you know, so I really like that about him.
I agree. I mean, and the women are just, you know, stunning, might I add. When I watch this, I'm just like, oh, teach me your ways. but I agree. I mean, I just feel like it's something relatable from each of the characters, right? We can all see ourselves at some point, you know, with Mercedes trying to get out of the strip club and trying to do something, you know, better with her life. Diamond with his handsome self. So I'm excited to kind of see how they all develop in this next season.
Yes, for sure. And Chappelle, give us a rundown of season one real quick.
Oh, okay. I'll try to do this quickly because it's been a while since I revisited season one. But one, the highlights of season one were basically that we had Autumn, who that's her stage name, but her name is Haley, and she showed up here in Chuckalisa, and we don't know really a lot about her. We're just kind of finding out more and more about her as the season goes on. She's initially beefing with Mercedes, who is the principal dancer at the Pink, and the two of them at first they don't get along, but due to a circumstance they start to kind of bond, and by the end of the season Autumn ends up purchasing the Pink. In the meantime, though, Mercedes is trying to get out of the strip club. She doesn't want to do this anymore. I think she was getting to be, 25, 26, and so she felt like, for a stripper, she was getting kind of old, and so she wanted to start a dance studio. Well, she has the worst mama in the world, and her mom decided that she wanted to be a pastor. She wanted to have a church, and so what she did was she stole the money Mercedes had been saving for to start her own, to start her business and to get her dance studio off the ground. She stole the money to purchase a church, and so from there, Mercedes, rightfully so, whooped her mama ass. And so that was one of the main conflicts at the end of the season. There was also some talks about what was going to happen to the Pink before Autumn ended up stepping in and buying it. There were questions about whether the city was going to sell that land to a casino developer, and what would happen to the dancers, and what would happen to Uncle Cliff if that were to happen. And meanwhile, all that is going on, and Uncle Cliff is dealing with his own issues with love and being out, but also kind of falling for a closeted gay man in the rapper Lil Murda. And Lil Murda is like aspiring rapper who is now taking off as a big name out of this area of Mississippi. He has a principal dancer on his side as well, a former dancer from the Pink named Keyshawn, who used to be going by Mississippi, but now it seems like she's taken off as well and became like an influencer in our own right. So all that is going on at the same time, and the season just kind of leaves us up in the air with what happens now that Autumn owns the casino. And we find out at the beginning of this season that they deal with COVID in the universe where P-Valley exists. And so they also have to navigate COVID as well. Did I do a good job, Bryce?
I think you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Two things I want to touch on because I think that is important. So when we talk about the dancer, Mercedes, like you were saying, she feels like, by all rights, she the little Kim of the club, okay? Mm-hmm. And, there are Nicki Minaj's and other people coming up, and she wants to start a dance studio, like Chappelle said. And I think the great thing about Mercedes is that, like, not does she want to start a dance studio, but specifically for like black girls. We've all seen like the show on Netflix, Cheer. So think of Mercedes as like the Monica of Cheer. And she really wants a place where like young black girls can come and like feel good about themselves, have structure. And it's great. However, in order for her to save for that, she has to save money. However, Mercedes, like a lot of our cousins and people that we know, they have a checkered background. And so for her to get a loan and for her to save money, she doesn't have a bank account. So she does use her mom, who is a leader in the church. And I think it's also just really important to point this out, is that her mom is a leader in the church. And so she laundries her stripping money and other little side money that she gets through the church. And that way, that's how her mom has access to it. But another like key important thing to remember about Mercedes' mom, because although, Chappelle was right, she is not the best mom in the world. Mm-hmm. She is a member in the church, and it's a very black church. And there are some churches like this that women can't really be leaders. And, her mom is a big figure in this church. However, she wants to be more. She wants to be a pastor in the church. However, they don't see it for her because she is a woman. Like I believe she is a singer, and they only want her to stay in that role. And so the opportunity comes for her to be able to get the church, but it's through the money of Mercedes. And so she kind of steals it. And my last point that I wanted to bring up about where we are, and now y'all know I'm gonna mess this name up, Chuckalisa Cucky, Mississippi.
That's it. You had it. Okay. And then you did the most after, like I expected.
Okay, but I mean, listen, it's Purple Pants Podcast. What I love about this show is that it's very, Chappelle is in Texas, I'm in Philadelphia, Sharia is in Atlanta. gentrification is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, historically in very urban and dare I say the hood, you know, 10 years ago where no one would want to live. Now in Philadelphia, you got people drinking Starbucks and walking a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is what's happening down at the Pink. Is it's in the swamp area lands. However, they talking about building a casino and they want this property. And so although people look very bad upon, oh, the strip club, oh, my God, what they doing over there. However, anybody that's in Chuckalisa, Mississippi, visits the Pink. And it's a staple in the community. And so it brings jobs. It brings a lot of things to it, but they want to get rid of it. So that's just what I wanted to say, because I feel like it's the thing that I love about the Pink so much is that it's relatable. Like we mm-hmm. can see this in our own city where, like, you know, they are trying to get rid of the quote unquote bad areas and put condos. And okay, but my thing with the condos is y'all build these condos up, but where are they going to park? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all. Y'all building 147 units, but no parking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that, yeah, and that's probably like the tip of the iceberg, right? Yeah. You know, and so, that's all throughout here. And like, I'm not shy about the area of town I come from. Like, this is very much like home for me. Like, nothing in P-Valley stands out as like, oh, what are these people doing? You know, mm-hmm. but I know for a lot of your listeners, this might be a little bit outside of their realm, Bryce. And so, yeah, I definitely think that if they're going to enjoy the show, they're going to have to watch it and then listen to the podcast and try to step outside of their normal comfort zone, because this is not going to be like anything they've ever seen if they're not used to this kind of content.
Absolutely. Got to be a little bit open-minded, right? But it's also entertainment at the same time. So listen, it's like coming to Atlanta, right? And being mm-hmm. in the strip club scene, okay? So hey. I get it.
And, you know, even saying all to say that, I told my mom about it. My mom is more hype about P-Valley than I am. Like, you know.
Yes, Bob.
Love it.
And what I love, again, kicking off episode one of season two is, mm-hmm. again, relatable. Yeah. It's the middle of the pandemic. The Pink is shut down because, you know, they quarantined. You can't go outside. And so they still need to make money. And what I just love about Black people is we are so innovative.
Listen, okay. Okay. Creative on another level. You hear me?
Listen. So they couldn't do the strip club how they normally do it because of COVID restrictions. However, they didn't opened up the puss land.
I was not prepared, I must say. And then I kind of like forgot about the pandemic for a minute. I was like, oh, let me see what they do with this. But when they started to, you know, go into puss land, I was like, this is what we doing. Okay.
Yeah.
And mind you, first of all, I want to know, puss land has to actually exist somewhere. And if it doesn't,
they didn't make this up. They didn't make this up. I remember during quarantine, because I said, I'm from Houston, in Houston, Atlanta, Vegas, you know what I'm talking about. They have a certain clientele at these establishments, and people were not willing to stop making money. Like, these people can't work from home. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a lot of ways, they couldn't. And so you have to figure out ways to put food on the table. And so the drive-through strip club was definitely a thing in Houston. I can't speak for Atlanta because I wasn't traveling during the quarantine, but in Houston, I drove past a few. I seen them.
Really?
From a distance.
Well, no.
Past.
Yeah, okay. Here's the, you drove past?
I just went past a few. You Be know, clear. I seen some clips online, but I drove past it on the way to watch church at home virtually.
Bedside
Baptist.
You was calling a Mercedes mom shirt.
No. Bedside Baptist. I was going home, you know, watching it on the Zoom, but I definitely seen that they existed. So this is not that outlandish.
Interesting.
Yes. And mm-hmm. so for anyone that is listening, Pussland is a car wash where you drive through. But baby, it is an experience. Mm-hmm. Okay. where you get to see the ladies live and direct. And they might not be, you know, when you go through the car wash, you see the tunnel, the whoosh, 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 whoosh. Well, just know the tunnel still happens. It's just not with the wipers. It's with the cheeks.
You still getting a car wash. Maybe not what you thought.
Right. It's going to get wet in there, apparently, right. According to Uncle Cliff. But I did appreciate that they showed something that, like I said, it happened. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, Uncle Cliff gave it his own spin. So he's in there looking like Uncle Cliff gonna look there, like dressed to the nines and the tens. And like, so like just putting on a show as a part of like this whole big production. But they're also giving out complimentary weed wings and baby wipes, you know, like, so it's customer service at its finest.
It is classy, trashy, real good.
Okay, listen, it's with bougetta.
Yes.
Okay.
Nasty but classy.
That might have to be the name of this episode.
Yes, nasty but classy.
We can sign off on that, right, Sharia?
I'm with it.
And one of the first people that we kind of sort of connect with is Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Now, from last season, like we said, Mercedes wanted to get out of the strip club, and she was planning this big Mercedes last dance. And, you know, Mercedes had gentlemen coming from state lines all over Louisiana, from child, they probably was coming from New York. They were coming all over for Mercedes. She, by all means, was the headliner. She wanted to get out, but she never really kind of sort of got out because she saved up her money. But, you know, her mother stole it. So she never really left. And mm-hmm. we see Mercedes is still, Little Kim is still out here giving the jump off. And she is telling the girls and everyone, like, I feel like I'm bringing all the boys to the yard for my milkshake. And I feel like I should be getting a bigger cut. Yeah. And it is interesting to see the dynamic because now, you know, Uncle Cliff used to own and operate the Pink, but now Autumn has stepped in and she bought the Pink at an auction. And it's interesting because, and I don't know if y'all picked up on this, but at times in the beginning, you know, Autumn definitely says that, you know, she is partners with Uncle Cliff, mm-hmm. but it ain't no like Elon Musk and Twitter partnership. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like Uncle Cliff might got 10% and Autumn has 90. But throughout the episode, we hear Autumn saying partner. But then towards the end, it's very much, I'm the boss. I own it. And I'm going to do what I want with it.
Yeah, she was definitely flexing at some certain points, which I thought was interesting because I was wondering how they were going to kind of shift to this dynamic with her being partner or owner. And, you know, at some point she's like, listen, I got to make the decision because I'm trying to keep us afloat here. What are we doing? Like, this, because of me, we're still open.
Right.
Right. And
I like Uncle Cliff, Bryce, but I mean, Autumn's not wrong. Uncle Cliff let the Pink get drove into the ground.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, and, you know, and I think he's going to struggle with this throughout the season because of the power dynamic, right? Like, it's already like a man and a woman, so there's already a misbalance of power right there. Mm-hmm. But she used to be a stripper for him. And so he kind of looked at her like an employee all the time, you know? And, you know, people say what they want about sex workers or whatever, but there's also biases there, too, that even my Uncle Cliff might even have. And so for her to be, what you call her, a high stripper, like former stripper who is now in charge, she's playing nice by calling them partners because that's truly not the case.
What
she
is exactly.
Boss.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. And although, listen, I'm going to take up for my sis, Uncle Cliff, though, although he may not be making good business decisions and although like the money might not be moneying or the math is not mathing, I think the difference between Autumn and Uncle Cliff is that he makes these decisions, and they might not be good decisions, but he cares about the workers. So if it's like, I don't make money because I'm providing for the girls, I'm going to provide for the girls. And I think that that is the different style in their business model is that, like, you know, Mercedes might be about the money, but Uncle Cliff is really about the girls. And so if it doesn't make him money, as long as his girls are eating or like, you know, so he makes maybe not rational decisions, but they are rational in his mind of because he cares about it. So it's like it's that difference that why I just, you know, I love me my Uncle Cliff.
Yeah. I think what's happening is he's just not communicating that in the way that probably needs super. Sure, right. I agree. He actually does care about the people, but you know, that's why you kind of need that balance, right? She's like, listen, I'm about the business side of it. He's like, I'm about the people side. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of work together this season. Because they're going to have to.
Well, agreed. Yeah. And it's like, here's the thing. I like Autumn. But we don't know a lot about her. Like, you know, first season, child, she was given very much.
It's still sketch.
Yes. Like, we don't know where you came from, girl. Yep. You on the run. And now you are in the P because you need to work. And you know, at the end of season one, you end up killing somebody. But also, you in Mercedes also was given very much Thelma and Louise at these banks getting this coinage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, do you notice they have an interesting dynamic too, right? Their relationship. So you look, just even the first episode, it's like you have these moments where they're like, oh, we cool, you know, we roommates. And then again, here comes Autumn flexing again, like, hey, this is what I'm doing because I'm the boss. You know what I'm saying? So they have a weird dynamic as well.
Right. Yeah. Mercedes was very much hazing that woman when she got to the peak. She was like, you got to sit over there. You ain't going to go on after me. You can't do XYZ. And now Autumn's in charge. I really think it's one of those situations where they're not used to that. Like, I agree with Bryce. We don't. Look, I don't trust Autumn. But from like, but from Mercedes' standpoint, you know, like, who is this girl? Like, why does she get to come and take charge just because she got this money? Like, I'm still the HBIC up in here, and I'm trying to actually get out of here soon.
And she
but,
means
you know,
that.
And she does. And I think what I love about P-Valley is it touches on topics that, dare I say, plague the Black community. Mm-hmm. And colorism is a thing in our community. And it's like, you know, people say, oh, the lighter you are, the more attractive people tend to think that you are. And it's really not. And so I think the dynamic is so interesting because Mercedes is a very brown skinned, beautiful girl. Ready. And I think, you know, part of her hazing Autumn was, here's Autumn, this very dare I say, light, bright. And, you know, it that power dynamic where all the men are like, ooh, who's this? Even though Autumn can't really dance and ain't doing nothing. But Mercedes is out here, boom, chop, boom. Yeah. Like, you know, shit. Yeah. And so it's a, but I love that. I love the fact that they touch on that because it's a thing, you know, and, you know, blonde hair, yellow skin. People think that that is the standard of beauty when actually it's not. And beauty is, for me, chocolate, brown, muscles. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just, you know.
Oh, okay, you're getting carried away. You know what else, though, they touch on, which is, I think, real life for everyone right now, is just politics. And you mentioned gentrification and how money drives everything, right? Mm-hmm. And just thinking about how you throw a couple of dollars to somebody and you can get what you want, right? In the city or the area that you live based on your connections. And that's very real, I think, in everyone's lives at some point, no matter where you are from.
Absolutely. And I think another important topic that was touched on last season was, so there was a mayor who, I guess, signed this deal with, I don't know, was it the three brothers that he signed the deal with? Or there was something with these three brothers. They were white. And one of the younger brother, he visited the pink, wink, wink. And they made this deal with the mayor to kind of like come in with the casino. And it would, the casino plans, yes, theoretically would be great for the city, would bring so much money, but we know the money would not really trickle down to the people that it really matters. If anything, it would make the people that really matter poorer and couldn't live in that area. Mm-hmm. And so what Uncle Cliff did was they had to pass it with the board. And what Uncle Cliff do, he got the girls out and they signed petitions. And I think that although it's not the same, but for me, and especially with these next couple of years coming out, like, your voice and your vote matters. And I think that, like, the activism work that Uncle Cliff did to inspire the community, for me, like, really touches on, like, you know, the mail at home ballots and how important it really is for the Black community to get out and participate in these town meetings, get out and participate in these elections, get out and not just the presidential election, the midterms, you know, city council. And so it is interesting for them to somewhat touch on that like, yeah, the mayor might think that, oh, okay, I'm with these three brothers, they signed that check, and we just want to move forward. But, you know, for Uncle Cliff to bring awareness to the community and, like, really kind of be like, listen, get these signatures and petition, really kind of sort of put a wrench in the mayor's plan.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And again, it kind of goes back to, like, this is people who are being forward thinking about themselves, right, and what's going to bring to their pockets and not the ones who really need it. As they kind of take over these areas. So I was happy that, you know, that kind of paused for a minute.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess, who else do I want to talk about? So, like, yeah, Lil Murda.
I love him.
Okay. Let's just dive on into Lil Murda. So Lil Murda is a Child, he everybody little cousin. You know, you everybody got that one little cousin that been rapping on the YouTube, that, you know, got the singles that, you know, every time you see him, like, hey, yo, cuz, check this out. Check my new single out. But, you know, he is a rapper and he definitely dabbles in the, dare I say, street work. You know, he hustle a little bit. He sell a little bit. He this and that. But he is very much a masculine black man. And him and Uncle Cliff have a relationship. And I just love their dynamic of the relationship where Lil Murda really likes Uncle Cliff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Uncle Cliff is having him meet his Aunt Ernestine. And also, before we even go there, can we just talk about Aunt Ernestine, Loretta Devine?
Listen, Loretta is still doing her thing, okay?
She is. I mean, like, the cast in general is really good. But to bring in somebody, like, as great as Loretta Devine, it just really just put, like, the icing on the cake.
It does.
But to what you were saying about Lil Murda, Bryce, I mean, you know, I'd be talking about how you and these toxic relationships, Bryce, this dynamic, like look in season one, it was cute for a second. This is season two. And Uncle Cliff is rightfully ignoring Lil Murda's messages. Yeah. Like, Lil Murda played him in public, you know, and you really can't just be out here, you know, what do you say? Sucking in, you know, in the dark, mm-hmm. you know, like at some point Uncle Cliff had to put his foot down. I'm happy that he did it.
Yeah. I mean, I am too. I think that it's a complicated thing, though, because it is, because, you know, I'm not speaking from experience, you know, just what my friends tell me.
You drove past it?
Yeah, I drove past it. I have driven past it many times. I ain't even going to lie, I parked across the street a couple.
Stop!
But it is, and I don't know, maybe I feel like my connection with Uncle Cliff is that we want to give these men grace. In the sense of, you know, our stories might be a little more different. We might have not had the opportunity to come on out mm-hmm. or, like, you know, have to reveal anything to the world because that's just who we have been. But there is something to say that, like, when you do make the decision to live in your truth, it is like a scary thing. Yeah. And, you know, I think when you lay with these men's and you have these pillow talks and, like, you get to see who they are and not the image that they portray to the world, I think that it softens your heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever they lay it down, if it's good too, that adds to the more intertwined that you get. So it's like, you really want to give this person grace. And then, you know, I feel like at first you're fine with it. Or, like, for me, my thing was, like, back in the day, it was like, oh, I thought this was cute. Ooh.
Yeah, it's that, oh, we're just going to have fun and see what happens until we get to what happens. And then we have to address it.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, then you actually have to, like, know your worth. But, you know, I guess love kind of convolutes that at time because it's like, who wants to be lonely? Everyone wants to be loved. And it's like, you know, you want to empathize with this person because you know what they're struggling with. And, you know, at times it's like, well, who really needs to know our business? But it's not that. It's that the respect that you as a person have to give yourself and put yourself first, because if you don't, nobody else will. But at the same time, I don't know, because I feel like it's just a struggle in my real life.
Right, just say it. You're rooting for them. And that's okay. Yeah, you can root for them.
Right, even though it's still toxic, AF. But I will say it's almost like I can give it. There's so many scenarios even with that relationship, right? But you think about people that are in the limelight, and we're thinking about Lil Murda, who's trying to make it, right? So he's just not ready. He's in a different place, where Uncle Clifford is like, listen, I'm living in my truth. But speaking of respecting yourself, let's talk about Keyshawn, right? That leads into that. She definitely does not respect herself and the marriage that they are married, right? The guy that she's with, and the way that he is abusing her. And so again, knowing your worth, living in your truth, and respecting yourself, there's a lack of respect. And this has nothing to do with her occupation. This is the fact that she's with a man who does not treat her right.
Yes. Yeah. And so let's get into Keyshawn. So Keyshawn is one of the, you know, like, we could call Keyshawn, let's say, a Megan the Stallion. If Mercedes is Lil' Kim, okay, you know, we got Nicki Minaj's, we got the Cardi B's, we got the Megan Thee Stallion's ready to come up. And there was a time where Mercedes was supposed to do her last dance, but I forget what happened. She didn't want to do it or felt got cold.
No, her mama stole that money. So she had to roll up on her.
Yeah. Oh, she missed her last dance.
She missed it.
She was in jail. That's right.
She beat the brakes off that woman. Woo. But you know, like you're saying, Keyshawn, a.k.a. Mississippi, she stepped in and stole the show. And it looks like we've been dealing with her rise to fame ever since.
Absolutely.
And it's important to know that Little Murder had a song out that wasn't really that hot. But then with social media and with Keyshawn dancing, and it got the attention of the world. And so then it became Little Murder and Keyshawn were like this like Instagram couple, and it kind of sort of worked for Little Murder because she almost became his beard. Like, oh, like, you know, because there were rumors, you know, the rumors were swirling about Little Murder and Uncle Cliff. But having Keyshawn in the mix, it kind of like boosted him. But this is where it gets convoluted. And again, I feel like here's another thing that is real life. It's like, you know, rappers and artists out here, you know, first of all, they don't make R&B and they don't make the music that they used to make no more. Now the musics are for TikTok. Who can get a TikTok dance? Who can get a so, like, you know, and the question is, do people really like Little Murder, or do they just like seeing Keyshawn, shake what her mama gave her? And it is interesting because Keyshawn is dating a white man who by all means does not look like he is very friendly to the black people, but he dates a black woman and does not have respect for her. And are they married or did they have kids?
I feel like they're married for some reason, but I'm not sure.
And yeah, so he does not like the fact that where she dances, he does not like anything much about her, however, or much about her profession, and is extremely jealous. And so there are a lot of scenes where we see that he physically abuses her, and she is not in a very happy place. Now, then we also enter Diamond.
With his fine self. I don't even do yellow bones, but you know.
I'm not driving by. I'm going in. And Diamond is the bouncer at the Pink. Mm-hmm. And he witnesses Keyshawn and her baby daddy, her boyfriend. I don't know what his name is.
It's her boyfriend. Yeah.
Is it Duffy? Boyfriend. It might be Duffy.
Yeah. No, Duffy's Gidget's boyfriend. This is Derek.
Derek. Mm-hmm. And there is a couple of moments, but I think one of the more pivotal moments is when he like literally physically gripped her up and Diamond came in and was like, Diamond was about to go to jail for life.
It was a good fight, though. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was shocked. I thought Diamond was gonna knock that man out. And they got to the point where it was out of control, and Keyshawn stepped in to break it up. But I mean, I think we were all shocked at the end of last season when Keyshawn pulled the gun on Diamond and not her abusive baby daddy.
Mm-hmm. But we see that in, you know, relationships of abuse that, like, you know, sometimes the abused will, yes, they will protect the abuser. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all throughout last season, Diamond and Keyshawn were kind of sort of flirting. And, you know, it was a cute little couple. But fast forward to season two, we see that Keyshawn and her husband, baby daddy, are still together. And she is out here on Beyonce's internet. Mm-hmm. It's giving, I mean, it looked like an Instagram, but for me, it's giving an OnlyFans type of vibe. But clearly she is making money and, you know, the pandemic has been good for her. Mm-hmm. And the baby daddy not too happy because, like, he wants to work, but, you know, he got to watch the kids. And now it look like they got two kids, so they might have had a COVID baby.
And you know, them COVID babies tough, too. Ooh. You know, like, I be peeping these people with these COVID babies. They don't cry. They built different, really, because they came out the mud for real. But, you know, I think it's so crazy because Derek is enjoying the fact that, like, she's not leaving the house now, right? She's like, you see, the thing is, she was in Mercedes' shadow for so long that when she saw her opportunity with Lil Murder, she's like, I can boost you by, you know, kind of keeping this Uncle Cliff rumor down, but then I can get boosted too, and people going to start seeing me. You know, I'm going to be the headliner. And so she knows she has fans, and she misses that interaction with them. Like, she misses the club scene, but Derek's like, nah, you're going to stay in that room and swing on that pole in there and go live on OnlyFans or Instagram or whatever the case may be forever.
Literally stay in the room.
Yeah, right. To the point where, I mean, Sharia, correct me if I'm wrong, but she had to hide diapers so that she could go to the stove, the STO? Yes,
that's exactly what happened. I mean, let's just say she's definitely taking advantage of her opportunities, right? Her 15 minutes that she, you know, received for sure. But yeah, she definitely had to hide diapers. I was a little unsure at first what she was doing. I was like, she's making a plan for something. But she did just that. Hid them in the little, in the trash can just to step out the house. Mm. That's it. Just to step out the house.
But was it just to step out the house or was it really to see Diamond?
I don't know. I mean, that she necessarily both. Knew that he was there, but yeah, if she did, I would agree. It's both.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think about it. If she said, I want to go, he'd probably be like, where, why, mm-hmm. what you doing? You know? And so she needed that excuse and yeah, she had to go to the store and that just happened to be where Diamond is doing his security now that the pink is closed.
Okay. Can we talk about Diamond's mask for a second?
And the and the extraness of it.
Okay. It looked like an astronaut helmet.
And why he was being so extra too.
I mean, he still was looking good though, but I just
for sure.
Well, you know, that's one thing I really appreciated about this. Like, I hate COVID shows. I hate any show that acknowledges COVID because it's in my world. I just don't really like to talk about it. You know, mm-hmm. it's so triggering, right? But they cover so many aspects of the way COVID was dealt with back then. There's the people who are like, you got the church doing a drive-through food mm-hmm. drive. You got the strippers doing drive-through this. You got Diamond who has the face shield on. But you got Uncle Cliff's Aunt Ernestine who is not, she not like, oh, the government made this up. They just want to keep us in the house. You got people who coming inside. Like we haven't really talked about Andre, but we see his wife. She's coming in and scrubbing herself mm-hmm. clean because she works as a nurse. People are taking this at different levels of seriousness. And it's even on the show. I mean, Lil Murda has like a cloth Louis Vuitton mask. But, you know, like that ain't doing nothing in comparison to that face shield that Diamond has, you know.
Such a good point, Chappelle. I didn't even really think about that, but they are hitting on every aspect of COVID and how different people react to different things. I didn't even think about that.
The funniest line was when they said that one stripper got her had to burn her eyebrows off because she was trying to make homemade hand sanitizer. I was like, but remember when hand sanitizer was like,
we're really got it. And they were really
exactly. Yes. Yeah, people really were trying to make it and couldn't find it anywhere. Absolutely.
And they posed, so you know they weren't getting it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, the show was very smart about the way they handled COVID with regards with the face mask and stuff like that.
Well, and think about it. I just want, you know, everybody listening to think about, we really haven't even talked about the fact that these are strippers we're talking about in strip club. We're talking about all the other aspects of their lives, right? So that just tells you like how many things that this show actually touches on aside from their actual occupation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I definitely heard Uncle Cliff say he did get a PPA loan for
look, and they still only got $25,000. Exactly. So Uncle Cliff, what's the deal?
What's going on with that money?
What's happening?
Where is that? And then so yes, you brought up a good point. Andre, who is Andre Chappelle?
Andre is he is like the surrogate son of the former mayor who died from COVID, played by Isaiah Washington. His character is kind of shady. This is played by Parker Sawyers. Parker Sawyers' character Andre is like, he's moved in. I think he's a lawyer, but he's really involved in the actions of the city and what they're doing with the development of the casino and with Tydell Ruffin, the late mayor, with his death, we see Andre dealing with that. Now, Andre is also very shady. He's got a wife, but he also spends a lot of time down at the Pink. Mm-hmm. He's found a liking for Autumn. They've had a physical relationship. And so he's been caught up in a lot of like the bureaucracy of what it looks like when you try to bring these big businesses in. But he's also trying to navigate his feelings for Autumn that he knows he shouldn't have. And even in this episode, again, it was one of those things where the way they handled COVID was so real. His like play daddy died and he's thinking, I need to go to the funeral. Mm-hmm. I might need to be a pallbearer. But his wife was like, no, mm-hmm. we don't go to funerals no more. That's not the world we live in. Cause you go to a funeral, come back, get her sick. And she's a nurse. She can't afford to get sick. Right. And so they have to navigate that on top of everything else. So I'm not a big fan of Andre's character, but I do like how the show is handling his story.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of his character either. And I'm really curious about how him and his wife are going to kind of navigate this season. As a matter of fact, it feels a little, I don't know, misplaced that she's kind of there or has come back. And I'm just really not sure where it's going. But did you notice how when she said, oh, Autumn has texted you, he didn't even address it, but he addressed everything else. So I'm like, oh, something's
and
coming with
that. And he snatched that phone.
So quick. So mm-hmm. quick.
Yeah.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong. Right.
What's up?
Yeah. But he saw her though.
Popped up, right?
Okay, listen. So Andre, was he, because I feel like last season I felt like he was somewhat like following Autumn. Or was it that, like, because then I felt like their relationship became somewhat problematic when Autumn found out, like, what he was actually doing. Mm-hmm. And I guess that was kind of sort of selling the pink, and that's where she had worked in foreign relationships with. But, you know, he was just down there for the city, not, like, as a private investigator for Autumn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but he was kind of following her, trying to figure out who she was. And I think he was kind of trying to putting some of the pieces together about maybe her, people in the pink, just kind of figure out what the scene was, since he, you know, didn't live there per se.
Right.
Right. He saw something he liked, mm-hmm. and he started to pay a lot of attention to it. But his goal was supposed to be to get information about the pink. So
that's right. Okay. Right.
Casino. Yep. He just got distracted.
Caught up. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It happens. It happens.
And what I think is the trump card that Uncle Cliff holds over Autumn is that, yeah, Autumn might have bought out the pink and she is the owner. However, I think a part of Autumn's story is we all seen Jennifer Lopez in what's that movie? Enough.
Mm-hmm. Enough. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Autumn is very much giving Enough. Season one, like we said, she just popped up out of nowhere, but she is on the, I don't say, well, she looks as though she is trying to get away from an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I don't know if this her boyfriend, her husband, he is like looking for her because she left in the middle of the night and she is here to start over her new life. However, towards the end of the season, the boyfriend, husband slash abuser finds her and she has to handle him. Mm-hmm. And by handle him, I mean rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Autumn is signing up to be a palm bearer for him. And, you know, she kills him at the pink. And, you know, essentially, Uncle Cliff, and I forget, who is Uncle Cliff's, like, business partner?
The L.
Big L.
Yeah. Yes.
The wings. Yes.
They dispose of the body. And, you know, it is so... They always have that over Autumn. And again, Autumn was going to leave Chuckalusa, Mississippi, but now she is invested in staying. And again, I think that power dynamic between Uncle Cliff and Autumn, we will see it come again mm-hmm. because, you know, Uncle Cliff, when she was saying something about like, you know, where is the money? Da-da-da. And Big L was like, well, was that the price of getting rid of a body nowadays?
Don't get too comfortable.
Don't forget, right.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, what else is the Uncle Cliff, the Autumn, the Mercedes, the Crooked Letter.
Gidget, I wonder if she's going to come back. You know, they had her pop in for a minute when she was on the phone yeah. with Keyshawn.
Yeah, and Gidget's also always not in the best relationship status either.
Agreed.
You know, mm-hmm. a lot of these women just find themselves in impossible situations. They, you know, like, some of them like being dancers. I mean, Gidget said, wasn't Gidget's mom a dancer too? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, that's the family business for Gidget. But some of them, like, really don't want to do this forever, you know? Yeah. And so they're put in tight situations and they're put in spots where they really need these men in a way, like, maybe for protection a lot of times, because this is a dirty business sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. People don't always want to treat these women like people. And so, yeah, it's a lot going on there. But I do think that throughout this season, we're going to really have to grapple with what's next now that there's a new mayor who was not a part of the, you know, Uncle Cliff's campaign to save the pink. Right. Like mm-hmm. this new guy did not have anything to do with that. So now it's like, well, what's about to happen now? Is Uncle Cliff about to link up with Mercedes's mom, you know, because they both have interest in keeping the casino out or at least benefiting from the casino? Or is, you know, the mayor going to go a different route? Like, we'd be basically almost back to square one where we thought we were done with this casino problem, but here it is.
Yep, back again. I agree with you. It's going to be interesting how the things kind of shift. And specifically to bringing in the new girls, right? And what that's going to look like and how Mercedes is going to kind of navigate those new girls. Cause it's almost like she knows they need some new blood in there, but she still is trying to be the HBIC. Like, no, I'm still the head one here, but I know it's what you got to do. So it's going to be interesting how that shifts.
Right.
Yeah, and she's probably like, shell shocked from the Mississippi thing. You know, like once you see one person kind of take off, you're like, man, you know, do I really want this to happen again?
Right. But it is like, I think it is the thing of life, and that you get older, like, you know, new blood comes in. And do you want to go out as the bitter queen, or do you want to go out as the queen that welcomes in the new girl? And if the new girl is successful, she's still going to show you love.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, what we didn't really touch on, too, that we're going to probably see more of is Mercedes' daughter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You notice when she was talking to her girls on Zoom, she mentioned, you know, who couldn't afford and or was not going to be able to come back. And she mentioned her briefly. So we'll probably see a little bit about that, too. So we're still trying to figure out some situations and relationships that we'll see during this season.
Can we also talk about Gidget and the fact that, again, how real this show makes COVID? First of all, Gidget is telling Keyshawn, girl, I'm in Florida, come down. They don't even wear masks down here. Come down.
Listen, ain't never lied. Ain't never
okay.
lied.
I ain't see a mask mandate in Florida since ever.
What ever.
Mask?
And that's well, Brink Brink's the one that started. But anyway, listen.
Look, yeah. Look, nope, don't do it. But listen, listen. I think the Zoom conversation with the dancers is definitely something we need to talk about because, like, Mercedes' whole thing was that she wanted to start this dance class. You know, like if people aren't familiar with, you know, like the, like go check out Bring It, you know, like with Miss D, you know, that kind of like that kind of feel, you know, like the like majorette dancing, you know. And but she's on the Zoom call because, of course, COVID. And one of the things that you would expect is the same thing that happened, you know, in real life with COVID. It's like they said the quarantine is lifted. We could go back to normal. Mm-hmm. But people have different levels of
what normal
comfort
is.
With that. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, like, first of all, I can't afford it because I haven't been working. That's the truth for a ton of people.
Yeah.
Being in a dance class is so expensive a lot of times because the uniforms and stuff like that, like you have to pay for all of that. And so like they can't afford it. Some people just aren't comfortable with their kids going back out without masks on. Like, who are you performing in front of? What are they wearing masks? You know, this sounds like it's pre-vaccine even. So how is Mercedes going to accomplish her goal now, knowing that her goal was to get these girls in the dance class and some of them just aren't going to come back because COVID exists? You know, like, it has nothing to do with their current health. They don't want to get sick. It has nothing to do with their ability to pay for it. They just don't want to get sick.
Right. And, that's what I was saying. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and it draws a huge parallel to Mercedes and Uncle Cliff. And I think, you know, one of the things that stuck out for me was like the girls, she was like, well, how many of y'all can't afford it? Your parents said y'all can't. And, you know, a lot of them raised their hands. And of course, Mercedes' whole point of this was to make money. However, Mercedes and Uncle Cliff are somewhat similar. Like, they're very close. They fight a lot, but they are like, you know, he says Mercedes is his bottom B. And, you know, that's like cold word for like, that's my down ass girl. But it still looks like even if the kids aren't going to pay, Mercedes is still going to do whatever she is to do for them. Because it, again, for her, it's not just about getting rich and having your own dance studio. She's invested in these little black girls and she wants them not to make the same mistake that she made of like being a dancer. She wants to offer them something different. So I just like that parallel between Uncle Cliff and Mercedes.
I agree. Again, like I just have to keep saying, like, it's so many parallels and so many situations in the show that the stripping is just the, you know, cherry on top of all of this when we talk about, you know, what they're doing for a living. But we just, there's so many dynamics. I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Yes, I'm excited, and I'm excited to keep covering this season on the Purple Pants podcast with Dr. Lloyd and Chappelle. But before we go, who in P Valley, who are you? If y'all was in P Valley, and of course, I don't have to participate in this because y'all already know.
You Lil Murda. Is you Lamarcus Bryce?
Hilarious.
I'm gonna reside as Uncle Cliff. I'm like, Uncle Cliff is definitely me. Who would you be? Sure.
I'm definitely Mercedes. Okay. I'm definitely the HBIC, you know what I mean? But I'm also like looking for bigger and better out here, and don't steal my money because you will get it too, mother or not. So
okay,
yeah, I'm definitely Mercedes.
Boop, boop, boop.
Okay.
Now is you little murder, Chappelle?
I'm probably the dude driving past the car wash at the, you know. yeah. There's not a lot of characters in this show that speak to me, but you probably see me at the Pink.
Okay.
I like wings. I like wings. I'm a patron.
Don't be Andre coming up in there just, you know, being a spectator.
I support black businesses. Yes. Look, invest in your community. What are you talking about?
I hate
Listen,
I am here for it. And listen, Purple Pants Posse, let us know what you think. If you watch P-Valley already, tweet us and let us know. But if you are watching because of this, please tweet us and let us know what you think, because we are here. We will be back next week covering episode 2. But before we go, Dr. Loy, where can the people follow you at and what you're doing? Let us know.
You can follow me at Survivor Riri on Instagram and Twitter. And I just cannot wait to keep this conversation going with you guys. Looking forward to it.
It's so funny. And I also want to tell a funny story, because Dr. Lord and I, we're working on a little project trying to get together. And first of all, let me apologize to Dr. Lloyd, because first of all, Dr. Lloyd shared a note with me. Child. Okay. And so it's great. But listen, am I the person that sometimes, like, you know, when you need to spell something, you look something up, I just open the first note that's open and I be writing the most like crazy things. And Dr. Lloyd texted me the other day and was like, why are you writing your panty size in our business note? I was like, now wait a minute.
Notes. Yes. That's okay. But we got something special coming up. We can't wait to share it.
Yes. Chappelle, what you got going on over there? Let the people know.
Well, apparently I'm Bryce's Purple Pants publicist, because ever since he dropped some type of photo a couple of days ago, my phone ain't stopped ringing. I'm like, why y'all think I know what the hell Bryce be doing in these sheets? And why? I don't know where he bought them panties. I have no clue.
I forgot about that photo, Chappelle.
I can't. People texted me today. They like, I know you're recording the Purple Pants podcast, so why are you on there? See what's going on. I was like, y'all, listen. Listen, it's none of my business. Bryce, don't pay me enough for that.
I support small businesses.
That's what we going with, guys? Got it. Okay. Duly noted. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. But yeah.
Entrepreneurship is key. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you can follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. You can follow me on Instagram at ChappelleTNT, where I'm basically just posting all the podcasts and stuff that I be doing. So this week on Nothing But Netflix, Rob and I talked about The Floor Is Lava with Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz as our special guest. Still covering the post-show, the finale of Fear the Walking Dead on post-show recast with Josh Wigler, AJ Mask, and Jessica Lease. And then I think everything is kind of winding down. We're done with Atlanta. So if you didn't finish Atlanta season three, go check that out. Our coverage on post-show recast with myself and Mari Forth and Latanya Starks. Other than that, Bryce, I'm just hanging out and seeing what else you want to talk about.
Yes. Oh, okay. You don't need to get the car washed today?
Not today. I had a long night last night. The car is clean. Yes. The car is clean. Okay. But also, again, Dr. Sharia, look, it's a pleasure. But also, Bryce, look at you podcasting with all these Texas folk. Right. Finally.
They say it's bigger in Texas.
I live in Atlanta, but I represent Texas all day, every day.
Amen. Amen. This has been so fun. I can't wait to do it again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, y'all don't have to go home, but listen, just make sure it's nasty and classy.
Bob's got a message. Bob's got a message. Barb's got a message for you. Barb's got a message for you. Oh, and I hope it comes true.
Hi, this is Miss Barb, and this week I would like to talk about forgiveness. Allow yourself to forgive often. Allow yourself to forgive others and yourself too. Forgive others for their wrongdoings or mistakes. Forgive others for hurting you. Forgiveness does not mean that what they did was justified or right. And it does not mean that you need to keep them in your life. You can have boundaries for who you are allowing in your life while simultaneously forgiving those who do not hold a place in your life anymore. Forgiving them means that you are letting go of the weight of their actions from the past. Now make sure you forgive yourself too. You do not need to be so hard on yourself and beat yourself up for things you regret. Forgive yourself for your mistakes and the times when you treated others unkindly or unfairly. Forgive yourself for the things from your past that you are still carrying with you today. When you forgive, you make space in your heart for peace today. When you hold onto grudges or past mistakes, you let go of today's peace to hold yesterday's weight. Forgive often and make room in your heart for peace today. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week, which is a very special one to me. A couple of weeks ago, I saw people tagging me in articles on the Twitter and was like, baby boy, have you seen this? And yes, I have. And so this week's Freak of the Week is Reggie Bullock. Dallas Mavericks forward Reggie Bullock has been named the league's 2021-2022 Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion. The NBA announced that Reggie will be receiving this award maybe about 2 weeks ago. Reggie has been a long advocate for the LGBTQ plus community in memory of his sister, Mia Henderson, a transgender woman who was killed in 2004. Reggie spoke about the killing of his sister and that it was something that he didn't believe really affected him until it hit home with him and his family. It's definitely had me use my platform to stand up and do what's right for her and my family, Reggie said. I got linked with all the right organizations and everything around to help me bring her name back to the light and shed light on others to stop crazy things like this happening in the world. Reggie has participated in and worked with the NYC Pride March, the GLAAD Media Award, and NBA events for LGBTQ plus youth and allies. When he joined the Mavericks in 2021, he started working with groups including Dallas Southern Pride, House of Rebirth, the Black Tie Dinner, and the Resource Center for the Malaysia Booker Foundation. And I just really think that what Reggie is doing is something that it needs to be applauded and just screamed from the top of the mountains, especially in the Black community. I've used my platform and I will always talk about our Black trans sisters and the support and the allyship that they need from us. Because just like Reggie's sister Mia, at times when our Black transgender sisters get killed, it doesn't make the headlines. People don't care. The police don't find, they don't look to solve the cases. It's looked as if like, oh, who cares? And we need to bring awareness to this and we need to support our trans sisters. When we say it's Pride Month, LGBTQ plus community, like it needs to be including everyone, especially our trans community. And so I just so commend Reggie for the work that he is doing, especially as a Black heterosexual man. It's really important to hear voices like his, especially when we are talking about the transgender community. Again, I'm just so honored to name Reggie Bullock this week's Freak of the Week. If Reggie is our Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. Purple Pants Posse, you know, I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for listening to another amazing episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to hit subscribe, to write a review, to give your baby boy some 5 stars, and don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to keep it nasty and classy, because it's a.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.